Did last night's explosion of a cargo rocket call into question the private company's business model?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The unmanned rocket that exploded soon after takeoff from Virginia last evening was built and launched not by NASA, but a publicly traded private company called Orbital Sciences Corporation. There were no human casualties after the 14-story Antares rocket somehow failed and collapsed back onto the launch pad in a fireball. It was carrying more than 5,000 pounds of cargo destined for the International Space Station. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here, and the company, Mitchell, is investigating the cause. But what about this shift of the space program toward the private sector?
Well, yeah, you know, this mishap is a blow, to be sure. The cargo itself was full of experiments, satellites, et cetera, for the International Space Station. It was worth $200 million, according to Orbital Sciences, based in Virginia. The company says it's insured, by the way. The bigger issue here, as you said, is whether this failure might signal to Congress and maybe the U.S. military that we should be questioning and dialing back this long-term plan of the Obama administration, which is to rely primarily on commercial space launch companies to do this kind of work. It's cheaper for the taxpayer, for sure, and it does create opportunities for private aerospace startups like SpaceX out of California.
Now, there have been other problems with these commercial launches by private companies, taking over where NASA had left off when the space shuttle program ended.
Well, you know, the record on these resupplies to the space station isn't bad at all. There haven't been any other failed resupply flights. Although a big vulnerability here that's being exposed is just how much these commercial rockets, especially from Orbital Sciences, rely on Russian technology, including very old engines. With tensions with the Russians being up, the Russians have made threats about cutting some of that supply off, and that could leave the U.S. space program and also these private space companies more vulnerable.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome.
Orbital Sciences stock is down 14% in pre-market trading. Let's check some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.7% after the Dow went up 1.1%, 187 points yesterday. Futures are mixed this morning. Southern California's huge port has been making headlines amid congestion and shipping delays, but ports all over the world are also running into the challenge of mega ships. Some container vessels now are 3.5 football fields long, and they're overwhelming ports, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Just 5 years ago, ocean carriers calling on global ports typically could handle 5,000 20-foot containers.
Now they are bringing in ships that can handle three times that amount.
Peter Friedman is an attorney for the Pacific Coast Council of Customs Brokers and Freight Forwarders Associations.
And there's some ships that have already been built that can carry 18,000 on one ship.
Even the expanded Panama Canal won't be able to handle those ginormous vessels. Noel Hasagaba, chief commercial officer at the Port of Long Beach, says it's all about economies of scale.
The bigger the ship, the lower the unit cost.
Hasagaba says these mega ships came online faster than expected. They're straining capacity at many global ports where authorities are scrambling to build bigger terminals and bigger cranes to unload them. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Sarah also looks at the ripple effects on the wider economy when ports get clogged like this. That piece, which first aired last evening on our PM show, is at marketplace.org. So-called superfoods. You may know them as pomegranate, kale, quinoa, but the beauty industry has its own stuff advertised as super. A hot seller now is Moroccan hair oil, $41 for about 3 ounces. Sally Herships says more on why it costs so much.
If you're a woman or a man and were once a teenager, you will likely remember for the longest time personal care products were all about removing oil from our faces and hair and skin.
Oils were a product that historically consumers had been told to take off.
Karen Grant is a beauty industry analyst for the NPD Group. She says now oil is having a moment, especially when it comes to hair care. Brands are advertising their ability to make your hair shiny and healthy with oils.
You'll see oils on the shelf at Target. You're seeing them in Walmart. You're seeing it in Walgreens. You're seeing it in CVS.
And at Ricky's, a beauty supply store in New York. Behind the cash register, there is a giant wall of hair products, all with the same color turquoise packaging. And when you turn around, there's even more.
It's a hero display. This is basically our hero products. These are the products that people, they come in with pictures. They just say, hey, do you have this?
Richard Parrott is president of Ricky's. And the this he's talking about?
The brand is Moroccan oil. The product or the ingredient that's so popular is argan oil,
which retails for about $12 an ounce. But what is it exactly, and why is it so expensive? Mohammed Omar has the answer. He's an industry analyst with Mintel.
Argan oil can only be extracted from the argan fruit, which can only be found in Morocco.
And a lot of it's only grown on cooperative farms run by women.
It can only be collected by hand, and then the kernels, they have to be taken out by hand. It's not an easy oil to get.
Back at Ricky's, Richard Parrott says when it comes to bestsellers, the beauty industry moves in cycles.
Curly hair is in, straight hair is in. Curly hair is in, straight hair is in. This is not new, right? You know, they were using this stuff in ancient Egypt.
Now, argan oil is like the truffle of the beauty industry. Because it's so expensive and scarce, very few consumers can afford the pure ingredient. But they're still willing and able to pay for a bottle of shampoo with just a few drops. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Thanks, Sally. With our central bank's extraordinary bond-buying stimulus set to end completely, we're watching for a Fed statement due at 2 Eastern. The benchmark interest rate, 10-year bond yield, is down at 2.28%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.